Wow, let's pray.
Lord, you have been good and you are good all the time. And circumstances can bring us to a lot of places. But there is one constant, and that is your goodness. I pray today that we'd cling to it, and thank you for the reminder from our sister that you are good. No matter where we're at or what we face, you're good all the time. Thank you for the gentle reminder to our hearts that encourages us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you for the song. Thank you for the choir. Man, y'all's choir takes me back. I'm a mountain boy, so I was raised on all those songs. I did put in a request for a song at the end of the service called He Whispers Sweet Peace to Me. How many of you know that song? Well, a handful of you. Good. It's one of my favorite old songs that I sing occasionally, and I just love that song. I bring greetings from Wise, and I pastor Glay Morgan and been there for a while now. And I just appreciate the opportunity to be with you. I'm actually living over here now, so I drive past your church and I pray for you guys and pray for Will. I'm so appreciative of Will and his ministry. His love for the Lord and his love for his word and expositional preaching is where it's at. I'm very thankful. I am thankful to be with you this morning as well. And I want to invite your attention to Psalm 143. And we will look at Psalm 143. And would you just stand with me as we look at Psalm 143? And as you're getting there, I would just like to ask you I have a couple prayer requests. I want you to pray for my wife, who's been dealing with some physical issues, as well as my mom, who's 90, just turned 90, and she's in the nursing home, but of great mind and of great heart. And just please, her name's Evelyn. My wife's name's Teresa. So when you pray, just pray for my wife and my mom. I'd appreciate it. I want us to look at Psalm 143, one of my favorite psalms through the years that I've looked at several times. This is one of those psalms that kind of anchor me, that I go back to. And I'm going to illustrate this psalm this morning, so you just kind of hang on. But I want us to read together the word of the Lord. This is a psalm of David. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life down to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate upon all of thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee, and my soul thirsts after thee as a thirsty land. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit falleth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be likened to them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Say those last sentence with me, for I am thy servant. For I am thy servant. You may be seated. The Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word. A Jewish man in Hungary went to his rabbi one day, and he complained. He said, my life is miserable. Life for me is unbearable. You know our little house that we, one-room house that we live in, and we have 9 people to live in one room. What can I do? He asked the rabbi. And the rabbi thought a minute, and he paused, and he said, go home today. And he said, I want you to move your goat into the house with you. And the guy just looked at him and said, you got to be kidding. He said, no. He said, I want you to do exactly what I say. He said, I want you to go home. And I said, I want you to move the goat in the house with you and then come see me in a week. And so the man did exactly what the rabbi said. Moves the goat in. He comes back the following week. He said, this has been even more unbearable. With this goat in the house, he said, it's nasty. It smells. It stinks. It's nasty. It's totally unbearable. What am I to do now? He said, go home and take the goat out of the house and come back to me a week later. And he did that. He said, just trust me. So the man comes back to the rabbi a week later and he says, how's it going? He said, oh, its life is great. Life without the goat in the house, that stinky, filthy goat. He said, it's good now. And he said, so life is good without the goat. Now I want you to think about that little story, because sometimes our troubles get bigger and bigger, don't they? Now, his circumstances didn't change. The circumstances didn't change, but his perspective on life did. I want to talk about when troubles come. When troubles come. Now, there's nobody here that's immune from troubles. There's not an antidote from troubles. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're immune from those. And we at times feel pressures in all kinds of different ways. We experience life and you experience pressures in your life. I do too. And they're real. There are times that I have bouts of complaining. I don't know if anybody else does, but I do at times. And I catch myself because sometimes I don't do what I say in my preaching. You know, there's times that I'm have an overwhelming heart of gratitude. Sometimes I find my gratitude level is a lot of times connected to my circumstances. So I want to ask today, how can I, Greg, get my gratitude level more committed on the nature of God than my circumstances? That's what I want to talk to you about. I would like to tell you that I have this down. I've been a Christian for 35, 40 years now, almost. And I will still tell you that I struggle with these at times. I think anybody that's just honest does. And I'm still growing, and I will grow until I see the Lord face to face. And then it'll be all good. But until then, how do you deal with troubles? How do you deal with troubles? And one of the things I really love about the Psalms, I just absolutely love the Psalms. The Psalms give us a picture of our hearts. And that's why people have related to them through the years. Think of Psalm 23. Or you think of many other Psalms. There's some Psalms of rejoicing. This Psalm today that we're looking at is a Psalm of David. David felt pressure. You know, they're saying that today that we're living in, the disease of our day is anxiety. And it's anxiety and depression. And David felt the pressures of life. David felt that, and we get a glimpse into the life of David and his struggle. Now, if you're wondering where God's at in your struggles, I mean, there's times that I do too. I'm like, Lord, where are you? Matter of fact, I just want you to look at this psalm. It's very honest. It's kind of like David is reminding himself, or is reminding God in the prayer, Lord, can you please hear me? I don't know if you've ever prayed and you're wondering where God's at in your prayer, if God's even hearing you. There's times that I'm saying, okay, God, am I getting this prayer thing right? And there are times that you look at life, because our feelings will betray us. Hear me. Our feelings will betray us. So I want us to dissect this psalm this morning, and I'm going to do it with a simple illustration about how do you deal with your emotions, and how do you deal with what you know to be true, and what are some things that you can actually do as you deal with troubles in your life. Because the reality of the fact is, you know this, that we all will deal with troubles. We will all deal with troubles. We will all deal with troubles in our life, and so it is with King David here, or with David here, we find this reality. More than likely, David is on the run. David could have been hidden away somewhere in a deep, dark cave running from Saul. We don't know exactly where he was, but we do know the experience of David. We do know what he was experiencing in this time of trouble in his soul. There's sometimes that darkness just will seem to roll in into your life. And so I want to ask you, how do you deal with that? And how do we teach our children to deal with that? You're here with I'm a grandparent. I have two grandkids, and I'm thinking they're real small right now, but one of the days they're going to live long enough. And how do you anchor yourself into truth that transcends your circumstances? We're going to look at that. David actually shows us how. He shows us how this happens in our life. Matter of fact, if you're inclined to write in your Bible, I do. I've got mine marked up. You can see it's yellow or it's pink and green. I chose those colors because those were the two handy colors that I had that were there. But I want you to think about this. How do you deal with troubles? How you deal with that? Any age of life, and our age doesn't matter. You know, when I was 7 or 8 years old, when I was 5 years old, I recognized that life was filled with troubles. I remember my mom came home one night, and my dad had gone to the emergency room, and she came home without him. And my heart sank. I didn't understand the reality of it, but I realized at a young age that life is filled with troubles. And I lost my dad at a very, very young age. But I can still say God's been good through all of the heartaches. You know, in my teenage years, when you're trying to figure out life, when you're trying to figure out where your future is, where you're going, sometimes there's a lot of pressure. Our young people have pressures on them today unlike ever before. If you're a man here or a lady in a job or a career, you're faced with things in your career and on your job that you find yourself perplexed over. Sometimes you find yourself perplexed in relationships. You wish things could turn out different or could be better or there could be more harmony. Sometimes you find your soul troubled over the loss of health or the fear, even the fear of a loss of health. Sometimes it may be the reality that you have more month than you have paycheck. And you find yourself in dealing with financial difficulties or financial troubles. You see, troubles come in all kinds of different packages. One writer said, he says, pressed in body, pressed in soul, pressed in mind, till dark surges roll. Pressure till life nearly ends. Pressures into knowing no helper but God. Pressed into liberty where nothing else clings. Pressed into faith for impossible things. Pressed into tasting joy in the Lord, pressed in the loving of a Christ life outpoured. So how do you deal with these? How do you deal with pressures? I want you to look at this. Now, I'm just going to give you a disclaimer this morning's message. I asked our brother what time that you all normally kind of get out of here, and he said you all would be with me. And that was the right answer. I appreciate that, Brother Mike. That was the right answer. I mean, saying that I had all the time and you'd stick with me. And I'll just tell you, he that endures to the end shall be saved. So I won't preach all day. I will promise you that. But I will just tell you this. See, I'm normally used to starting at about, for me, I start preaching where I'm at about, you know, like 25 till, and I'll go to like 12, 15. So if I go another hour and a half, you'll be fine, won't you? Thank God. I won't do that. I want us to look at three responses to this. Notice what he says. He says, hear my prayer. I don't know if you've ever said that, but you've probably thought it a time or two. Lord, are you hearing me? Are you hearing my prayer? Matter of fact, have you ever prayed and prayed and prayed and you wonder where God's at? Well, he did. David was like, okay, God, you know, if you could just show me, you know, just show me that you're here with me. He's saying, hear my prayer. Matter of fact, he says this a few times. He says, hear my prayer. And then he says it again, give ear. Hear my prayer with my supplications. And Lord, give an ear to my supplications. Give an ear to what I am saying. In other words, this was a depth of David's soul that is being poured out. Now, God has made you body, soul, and spirit. And within the realm of your soul, God has given you a mind to think, He has given you emotions to feel, and He's given you a will or a volition to make choices. There's three aspects to who you are. And there's three ways of looking, and there's three ways that in dealing with troubles in your life. And what the first one that I want you to see here is this, is I want you to see the emotions of David. What was David feeling? Well, I want you to look in verse 3. He says, the enemy has persecuted my soul. David said that the enemy had persecuted his soul. Now notice here, he may have been dealing with physical persecution. There may have been an outward circumstance, but it processed in the realm of his soul into the sense that he was misunderstood, that he was indeed persecuted, and he was troubled in the realm of his soul, and in the realm of his emotions, David found himself troubled. He was troubled, emotionally troubled with this. Notice here in verse 3, he says that he has smitten my life down to the ground. He's feeling it like this. He's feeling the pressure coming down on him emotionally. And he's saying, I'm being ground to the ground, and I feel like I'm being emotionally pulverized. He says, like I'm in the rock quarry, and I'm being sifted, and I'm being grounded down into little bits and pieces in my soul. That's how David felt. Notice here, David shares his emotions with the Lord. He didn't hide them away. He didn't deny them. He didn't deny that they existed. Notice here what he says. He says, He has made me to dwell in darkness. He goes on to explain it even with another analogy. He says, it's like my soul is in darkness and I'm feeling my way around. I'm feeling my way around to try to find some clarity, try to find some light, but my soul itself is in darkness. Now I remind you, as I remind myself, that David was a man with all of his troubles, and he caused many of his own troubles. But he was a man who sought after God with his own heart. Here's a man who is honest with God. This is a man who is honest and authentic before the Lord, who knows everything about him. Now notice what he goes on to say. Verse 4. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. That's his emotional response. And so I just put an E around verses 3 and 4. Because what I see is, in the realm of David's soul, in the realm of his emotions, David is saying, I am overwhelmed. Have you ever been overwhelmed in your life? Have you? Have you ever had more that you were dealing with in an overwhelming way, troubled? Well, David felt the pressure of that. I am so thankful that we can go to God in prayer. You know, God knows, He knows what we need even before we ask Him, but He tells us to pray, doesn't He? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything, the Bible says, to God in prayer. And then I like this verse. Oh, what peace. And I think it, when I say it, oh, what peace, there's a loss of peace. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So David knew the dark night of the soul. He knew the dark night of the soul here in verse 4. Look at verse 7. He says, just as, now I want you to look at verse 7. Just as, now I remind you, hear my prayer, O Lord. And then he says, I want you not only to hear my prayer, but he says, hear me speedily. In other words, Lord, I need an answer to my prayer now. I need an answer to my prayer now. I know that you're going to answer it in the sweet by and by. It's going to be good, but I need an answer on Monday morning. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Huh? Sometimes you need an answer now, don't you? And sometimes you're saying, God, are you hearing me? Are you listening? Do you care? And we know, because you've been in Sunday school and church enough, that God cares. But sometimes our emotions can betray us, can't they? Sometimes our emotions can betray us. So what we see here David saying is, look here, hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit's falling. I'm in a free fall emotionally, and I don't know what to do. Now I want you, as you keep on, this is going down here, verse 7. Now we're going to get in some good news here in just a second. But you got to get down here in the quagmire where David is to really to see the depth of what he was feeling. He's saying that the troubles that I'm dealing with, it's like my soul is falling, and it's falling very quickly. I'm feeling the pressure. He says, lest I be like those who go down into the pit, never to return. He's saying, this is what I'm feeling. So I just look over and I put it in a corner of my Bible. I put emotion. This is what David is feeling. This is what David is feeling. You know, I've been a Christian, as I said, many years now, and I've been a pastor for a long time. And occasionally I see folks that will post things like on Facebook and stuff like that, and they'll say, you know, such and such, such and such, I've had this test and you know, got a great report. God is good. And I'm thinking, okay, what happens if the report is not good? God's still good. But oftentimes we base our Christian life, and for younger people, it's easy to base our Christian life on how we feel. And if the bottom falls out of your life and troubles come your way, and your relationship with God is based on how you feel, and you can't sense God being there, then where is God in the dark night of your soul? What I'm saying is you need to anchor we need an anchor of the soul that goes deeper than what we feel. Because sometimes the things that you feel will not be true. Now, let me give you a for example. Has there ever been a time in your life that you had a fear or a worry, and you feared and you worried and you feared and you worried, and you knew you had it all worked out in your mind exactly how that fear and worry was, and it was the worst case possible scenario. The worst case possible scenario. That your fear and your worry, and sure enough, that as you thought about it and you worried about it, you fretted over it, you lost sleep over it, but it never happened. Anybody here? Nobody. Wonder. Well, it's just me, Greg. I am preaching all alone today. Think about it. Have you ever had that? Oh, I have. I've dealt with that. I've dealt with anxiety like that before. And I realized that the devil doesn't play fair. The devil kind of gets in there and he makes things a lot worse a lot of times than they really are in our mind and our thinking and our emotions. Let me take you to the next level. So I want you to think. I brought some an illustration. I appreciate Brother Mike. And I just want to talk about. I want to talk about these three chairs. Okay, and this chair right here, this chair is the chair of our emotions. This is what we feel. And notice here, one of the things that David did is he poured his heart out to the Lord. He poured his heart out to the Lord. But I want to give you the second one. And I want to give you the second one, and as we look at this one this morning, and we'll go back here to this one. I'm just going to ask you, what's in the driver's seat of your life? Who's in the driver's seat of your life? And what's in the driver's seat of your life? The second thing that David did in his prayer was he anchored his prayer in truth. So David, the emotion is going one way, and David begins to anchor his prayer in truth. Now I want you to think about this chair as a chair. Now this is a chair. Now you're gonna have to, this is gonna be an interactive sermon today. So I'm a teacher, okay? This is interactive. So this is your emotions, right? Say that with me. This is the emotions. And this chair is what? My thinking. Okay? So this one is what? And this one is? Okay, you got it. You got it. This one is what I feel, and this is what I think. Now I want you to look with me, and you're going to say, well, he was practically through this whole verse, and now he's going back up the top. Go back to verse 2. I want you to notice that David had enough Sunday school. He had been to Sunday school enough to know the truth about who God was. Now this is why at any age we need God's house, we need God's word, and we need God's people. Right? Why? Because you need, when trouble comes, you need more than just what? You need more than just your emotions. Because your emotions may or may not, they may be right. It's exactly what you feel. It's not an issue, really, right or wrong. It's how you feel, but you need to have your thinking anchored in something other than what you feel. Because the feelings may or may not be true. Now you follow me. So this is your, and this is your, okay, so you're getting it. Notice here what he said. He says, oh, the first one. Say, oh Lord, say that with me. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Now, I don't know if you've ever prayed a prayer like that, but I have. Sometimes I've prayed prayers and my prayers are real simple. Sometimes it's, oh Lord, help. Sometimes there's been points in my life that I'm thinking, I don't really have the words to form the prayer. And I'm so thankful for the truth that when I deal with life like that, that the Holy Spirit and Jesus God the Son makes intercession for us. I have a great high priest who is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Hallelujah to Jesus. And he's not seated somewhere far away, but he's my friend and ever present help in trouble. In other words, there's some truths that I begin to latch on. And that's what David did. David had been to synagogue. And he began to explore the truth. Now notice what he says, oh Lord, this is the word Jehovah, this is the word Yahweh. This is the word for the name of God, who is the covenant-keeping sovereign Lord. He's saying, oh Lord. In other words, just by acknowledging that God is sovereign, he knew that God knew what he was going through. He says, notice here, he says, hear my supplications. I'm pouring out my heart to you. I'm pouring my emotions and my heart out to you. He's saying now, he says, in your faithfulness. Say that word with me. In your faithfulness. Lord, I recognize that here's what I'm feeling, and I realize that you are the covenant-making God. You're sovereign. You're the sovereign Lord, and you're the covenant-making God, and that you are faithful because that is who you are. Here's what I know to be true about you, and you are immutable. You're unchanging. So notice here, David pours his heart out to the Lord, and then he comes down here into his emotions. Or I'm sorry, he comes down into his thinking, and he begins to recall the truth of the nature of God. That his life is more than what he is experiencing at the moment. And there's great news for you. You may be here today and you may be dealing with a trouble in your life that is tormenting you. Know that God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He is faithful in seeing you through it. And he will be there to help you in the greatest, at the deepest point of the need of your soul, even if your emotions are betraying. You say, well, I'm not sure. I think I've got enough faith, Greg. I may or may not. Well, there's good news even for you. You can be like the man who said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And there's times that I pray that way. Lord, I believe, now help me. Help my unbelief. So, as we begin to look here, he couches his life, he anchors his life in his prayer in the truth of the nature of God. Right off bat, he pours out his emotions and he anchors his life. He says, hear me speedily, my spirit is failing, so forth and so on. Notice in verse 10 now, he says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Thou art my God. He's saying, now notice now it's personal. Notice now that his thought was, he's like, okay, me and you, God, we've got a history together. I've seen you at work in my life. And here's the truth, and you are God. Your spirit is good. Notice verse 10. Notice here, quicken me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for thy righteousness. You do what is right. So notice here in verses 1 and 2 again, God is faithful and he is righteous. And notice here in verse 10, he says, your spirit is good, you are my God, and you will lead me in the land of uprightness. O Lord, for your name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Notice here, and he pleads and prays for the mercy of God. Some of the greatest prayers that you can pray is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. So notice here, this is what he's feeling, and this is what he knows to be true about God. This is what he knows to be true about God. Now, there's one more aspect and one more chair in this. And it's this one. This is the chair of the will. So over here we've got what? And this is our what? Our will. The will is the part of us that makes decisions. The will is a part of us that makes choices. The will is the part of us that gets up and says, you know, I'm going to have a cup of coffee this morning. Or I'm not going to have a cup of coffee this morning. Or we make all kinds of choices in a day's time. Notice here, and in this psalm, I want you to look at how David responds in an act of his will. Now, what is his emotion saying? I want you to look at this. Are you with me so far? Say amen or something. Okay. His emotion is saying, I'm in darkness in my soul. I'm feeling crushed. I feel like that there's, you know, no hope in this situation. I feel like I don't know where God's at. I don't sense God in my life or my experience. And I'm wondering where God you are in all of my troubles. I'm in trouble and I've got a soul that's bearing witness to the trouble that I'm in. Right? But David says in his mind, I can imagine this conversation going on in David's mind is saying, yeah, that may be going on, but I know who you are. You are faithful. You are true. You are sovereign. You're Lord. You don't change. And even though my emotions are saying this, I know this is true. This is the truth of what I will call theology. This is, and everybody has a theology of what they believe to be true about God. He's saying, this is what I know. When you're dealing with troubles, when you're dealing with difficulties in your life, when you're dealing with unanswered prayers or things that can't you don't see changing, when you're dealing with things that are torment, I want to challenge you, don't play too much over here in this realm. Because this realm only grows. I have a preacher friend that we were talking about this idea of meditation, this idea of meditating on the Lord. He says, Greg, you know what worry is? I said, no. I said, what is worry? He said, worry is negative meditation. Think about it. You get on the phone and you talk to your neighbor about your troubles. All of a sudden, your troubles get a little more what? Get a little more rooted, get a little more grounded, and they get bigger. They get bigger and they grow. They become to be magnified. They get greater. So, and I thought about that. Well, that's true. So David knew this. David knew this as a young Jewish boy, faithfully in a family who, as they would quote the Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall have no other gods before me." Notice here what David said. Now I want you to look at this. Now, are you with me so far? Come on, somebody talk to me. Okay, it's just us here, right? It's just us here. I want you to think, and I want you to look at this. Every time, go through here and look at every time that you see the word I. Okay? I. Now, go back here. You're saying, oh Lord, he's starting over again. You know, we get three sermons in one. And look, and it's not even, oh, I got to quit. Here we go. Verse 5. I remember. Did you see that? David is saying, I'm making a choice to do what? To remember. What is he remembering? I remember the days of old. I made a choice that I'm meditating on your works. And I'm meditating to the point of being in amazement and being mused by the work of your hands. In other words, I may be in a dark cave, but there are stalactites and stalagmites, and they can still praise the works of your hands because you created it. He's saying, I stretch, and then he notice here, he's saying, I in verse 5, I in verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul is thirsting after you, O Lord. And no wonder David is the one who gave us the verse that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So notice here what David's saying. He's saying, I stretch forth my hand. Notice here, cause me, in verse 8, cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Sometimes we need to hear ourselves say, or in praise to God, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. And notice what he says. He says, I trust you. Cause me to know the way and where I should walk. I lift my soul unto thee. Lord, I lift everything over here in my emotions, which he has already poured out. He's saying, I lift them to you. I'm lifting them to you. He says, deliver me, O Lord, verse 9, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. He's saying, Lord, I am running to you. You are my shelter. You are my sanctuary. You are my hiding place. And then look at the very last. Notice here the very last I will, or is not an I will, but it's where I stand. And that's what you need to know when trouble comes, is where you're standing. You know who God is and know where you're standing. And notice what David says. David says, we all said it together, say it with me. I am thy servant. Now that's monumental. What is he saying? He's saying, here's what I feel, here's what I know is true, and here's what I am reaffirming today. I am reaffirming that my faith and my trust in my God is the God who is unchanging, and though my circumstances may be swirling all around me and I feel like I'm right in the middle of a whirlwind or a tornado, I know that my God is faithful. Therefore, I will remember Him. I will meditate. Listen here. I will meditate on His works. Now, I want to preach very briefly to somebody that deals with worry. Because I'm preaching to myself. And I catch myself at times worrying. My mama says that it was in our family genes. And I said, well, we got a good dose of it then. But worries kind of grab hold of your heart and they hang on and they get bigger. They grow tentacles. We live our life in fear and torments. We live our lives with all kinds of things that we suppose will be. What happens if we just simply trust? Lord, I trust You. I simply trust You, Lord. Here's how you turn the vehicle around. You see, many Christians, and I won't say many Christians live their life purely based on how they feel. And if their circumstance is good, then God's good. And they go wherever their feelings say. I feel saved today, therefore I must be saved. Or what if you don't feel saved? What if you've trusted? What if you've prayed? What if you come to Christ and you lack assurance in your emotions at times? Where are you trusting? Notice here, here's how you turn this thing around in your life. Is if you can recognize, now when you get this, if you recognize that your emotions are just that, they may be right, they may be wrong, but they're just that. Go to truth. Go to what you know to be true about God, and you begin to anchor your life in truth. And then you incorporate that in your prayer. You say, Lord, I want to thank You that You're good. I want to thank You that You're the God of all goodness. You're the God of all grace. That You're the sovereign Lord. You know my life, Lord. You know every hair on my head. You can quote the verses. You incorporate that in your prayer. Lord, I want to thank You for that. And not only do I thank You, but I stand on it. I just want to praise Your name, Jesus. I just want to praise Your name that You're the unchanging God who is the lover of my soul. There's none like You, O Lord. Lord, I begin to thank God. God, I want to thank You for the time when I prayed and I didn't think, but You came through, Lord, and You did something that just absolutely was that magnified and glorified Your name. I just want to thank You for that, Lord. You got some of those experiences in your life? Keep them cataloged. Lord, I want to thank You for all the beauty that You've brought into my life. I want to thank you for easy days. Days when my life was not and was not so troubled. I just want to thank You, Lord, that You have been good to me. And all of a sudden you let that prayer, now get this. You let that prayer turn into a prayer of thanksgiving and gratitude for the nature of God. Now all of a sudden you're saying, well, that's true. Yeah, pour them out to Him. But notice here, who's driving the bus? Your thinking and your will. And your emotions are right here. Your emotion, yeah, but I'm troubled. You know, and you can write a song. You know, write you a good troubled song. Send it to Nashville. make a hit, you know. Yeah, just trouble. But here's truth. And here's where I stand. Say this with me. Lord, I am Thy servant. Lord, I am Thy servant. Know where you stand. And here's what happens to your emotions. Your emotions begin to go, Are you seeing it? Your emotions go, Lord, I want to thank you that you're the faithful God who never changes. I can roll my burdens on you, O Lord, and there's joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You make a way in dry places, in desert places, in places of famine, you bring light into darkness. Emotions go, yeah. They hold out on you. But I feel. Yes, but I know that that's what I feel. But Lord, I just want to thank you that you're the interceding God who was raised from the dead. You went to a garden. And then you walked a lonely hill. And you even felt forsaken by your Father. I want to thank you, Lord, that you walked that way for me. And I'm not walking alone. Hallelujah, I'm not walking alone. The emotions go, okay. And all of a sudden, you've turned your bus around. Right? It's turned around. Now, here's one of the things that amazes me about the Christian life and about prayer. I can be feeling one thing in 1 minute, and 5 minutes later, when I acknowledge and stand on and trust in the truth, my whole outlook changes. Now, why is that, Greg? Because greater is He that is in me than he that's in the world. Yes, we deal with this, our emotions. But there's a God who is greater than all of it. There's an old song. I don't know if the brother has it, and that's fine if you don't, brother. Sometimes when misgivings darken the day and face light I cannot see, I ask my dear Lord to brighten the way. He whispers sweet peace to me. Yes, He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down and troubled in soul, He whispers sweet peace to me. I could not go on without Him, I know. I am Thy servant, O Lord. The world would overwhelm my soul, for I could not see the right way to go when temptations o'er me roll. He whispers sweet peace to me. He whispers sweet peace to me. When I am cast down and troubled in soul, He whispers sweet peace to me. To me. He speaks in a still, small voice, we are told. A voice of truth. A voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or troubled in soul, that still, small voice I can hear. Why? He whispers sweet peace to me. I hear the alto singing that, see? He whispers sweet peace to me. When I'm cast down and troubled in soul, He whispers sweet peace to me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for this psalm. And I thank you for these dear folks, Lord, in their attentiveness in hearing your word. For anyone here today, Lord, who's troubled, may they know the reality of the truth of your lordship and your life that comes to give us life and give it abundantly. We ask that you do in our hearts what brings glory to Christ. Help us to turn to you every single day for every single thing. In Jesus' name, amen.